Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
The abomination of desolation is a prophetic reference to the Antichrist standing in the most holy place of the Jewish temple. For this to happen, a new temple must be built. Amazingly, a group of Orthodox Jews known as the Temple Institute have been preparing furniture, utensils, and priestly garments in anticipation of a new temple being built. They are preparing for the Messiah to come. Are you? Please join Pastor Ray Viola as he completes his discussion of the prophecy given in Mark chapter 13, verse 14. Bless the Lord, O
my soul, bless his holy. Are you guys on COVID overload? Are you guys election 220 overload? I mean, are you guys, there's so much that is coming at us, and I hate to say it. I see a lot of my brothers and sisters in Christ overwhelmed over the here and now, and all of this God is doing, and he's saying, I'm coming. Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
Yeah, two of you are excited. To me, this is, I was preparing this and say, oh God, thank you. Thank you. This is like a breath of fresh air. This is where we're headed. This is where we're headed. This is where things are headed. And Jesus in Mark 13 answered when all things would happen before he returns. He includes the abomination of desolation, but he includes it within the context that all things written in all of the prophets would come to pass. Now, here's where there tends to be some confusion. Because historically, we know that there was the desecration of the temple in 167 B.C., by the Syrian ruler Antiochus Epiphanes, and he erected an altar to the pagan Greek god Zeus over the altar of burnt offering, and he sacrificed a pig on it. You can read that in the Antiquities of the Jews. You can read that in 1 Maccabees. We also know from Josephus in the Jewish Wars in his literature that is really, really interesting. And that talks about the temple desecration that took place in 70 AD by Titus and the Roman army, where the city was destroyed and the temple was destroyed. But the events of 167 AD and 70 AD were not the fulfillment of Daniel 9. They weren't the fulfillment of what Jesus said. They were foreshadows of the final fulfillment. Because Jesus also told us that when you see this temple built, there's going to be other things that are happening, and I am going to come back in all of my glory and in all of my power. He did not come back in his glory and power in 70 AD. He didn't come back in his glory and power in 167 AD, but he is coming back in glory and power. He is coming back in glory and power. Now, I have to get a little technical with you. And I'm getting technical, and I'm leaning on the faculty of the Dallas Theological Seminary, who make a very, very important point here for us. Mark uses the masculine participle standing to modify the neuter noun abomination. This tells us that the abomination is a future person standing where he does not belong. It's a person. Hold that thought. A person standing where he does not belong. Who is that person? Well, you connect the dots. That person is the Antichrist. In Daniel 7:25, he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of time. In other words, there's a 3.5 period of time. And again, if you read in the book of Revelation, that's mentioned at least 3 or 4 times. Time, time, and half a time. Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, right? Now, 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes, and it should be obvious. Now, this was prior to 70 AD, but this was after 167 BC. Paul's writing of another temple. But listen to what he says. Okay? He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Okay? Note that the actions of this individual, he is called the man of sin sitting in the temple. He's a man. It's not a pig. It's not a Roman army. It is a man. It is a human being that will be on the planet at the time when the Jews are seeking to rebuild the temple for their Messiah to come. You know what that means? Now, don't misquote me. He could be alive right now. And so as we are getting COVIDed out, as we're getting blasted with all of this other stuff, all of this is going on. This prophecy of Daniel, this Antichrist, he's going to make a covenant with the Jewish people. You see, God is not through with the Jew. You have to know that. He's not through with the Jew. He's going to make a covenant with the Jewish people at the beginning of the seven-year period preceding Christ's return. There was no such individual or covenant made in either 167 BC or 70 AD. And the temple is going to be rebuilt. Look at Revelation chapter 11. Turn there, please. Revelation chapter 11. John is writing, and he puts the quill to the page, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he says there in verses 1 and 2, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God. Wait a minute. What would he have to measure if it was just a wailing wall? Measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein, but the court which is without, the court, the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now listen carefully. If you believe what you read, as you read it, where you find it, there will be a literal city on this earth with literal Gentiles who will tread down this city and this temple area for 42 months. Now, that's not me interpreting it. That's just me reading the passage. You don't need to interpret it. By the way, for you history buffs, in 70 AD, Jerusalem was not tread underfoot 42 months, and Herod's temple, which was destroyed, had four courts. This one only has one. Four is not one. And Ezekiel says that the one court is known as the inner court and the outer court. You see, the most holy place, which was destroyed, is going to be built, rebuilt. Read Ezekiel 40, 48, and you will see that the dimensions are different. So what's going to happen again? In the middle of the 70th week, after 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to break a covenant that he makes with the Jews, stop temple sacrifices, desecrate the temple, and proclaim himself to be God. He will be standing in a place that he ought not to be, desecrating the holy temple of God, claiming, I am God. That's the abomination of desolation that will take place on planet Earth. It hasn't happened yet. That's where we're headed, just like God says. Now, that is not meant to freak you out. That's meant to encourage you. You see, because Jesus, in the Olivet Discourse, after he talks about the abomination of desolation, he talks about all of these things that are going to happen around the world. Things that are going to happen that are going to be with more frequency and more intensity as we draw closer to his return, with the ultimate being his coming back to this planet to rescue, not the church, to rescue the Jewish people. You say, where's the church? Well, hold on. I'll tell you. Look at Zechariah chapter 14, please. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. How many nations? Have you ever been asked, where's the United States in Bible prophecy? Right here. There we are. All nations against Jerusalem to battle. Remember, God said, as long as the sun shines by day and the moon shines by night, I will not forsake the covenant that I made with my people Israel. God says, you mess with the Jew, you mess with me. There's going to be a time when all nations are going to gather together against Jerusalem to battle. Notice, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. And verses 3 and 4 just so excite me. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem. That did not happen in 167 BC. That did not happen in 70 AD. Jesus is coming back. He's good. His feet are going to stand on the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east, toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And if we jump down to verse 5, it says, and the Lord's coming back with his saints. You know what that is? You guys. You want to see another passage? I know you do. I can tell you. You want to see another one, huh, Rich? Look at Revelation chapter 19. You see, because my objective today is to stir us up to look ahead. Yeah, these are bleak times. These are frustrating times. These are discouraging times. But the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And no, we don't hide our head in the sand. But we have a message that must be given out. We have a message that must be proclaimed. And in Revelation chapter 11, this corresponds. If you read all the end times prophecies of the major and minor prophets, you will see one thing very, very sure. When Christ comes back the second time, it's all the nations and Israel. It's every city and Jerusalem. Okay? That's the end time scenario. Revelation 19, verse 11, John says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Don't confuse him with the white horse of Revelation 6. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And notice, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. I'm going to ride a white horse someday. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you imagine? Breaking news, MSNBC, Fox News, ABC. There is a UFO that's coming from the north. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Tell me this. How politically correct is that today? Jesus, here's the extent of my Hebrew, could not give a flip about being politically correct. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. There will be no doubters then. There may be doubters now. There may be those that oppose that now. But that's who he is. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. Now, there's a dinner. There's two suppers in the book of Revelation chapter 19. At one dinner, you're the guest. At the other, you're the menu. I would advise you to be a guest rather than the menu. Okay? And so all of the flesh are going to be eaten. And notice, and in verse 19, jumping ahead, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Notice he talks about individuals that are doing miracles and signs and wonders, just as it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about the man of sin that sits in the temple of God, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So what I'm saying is everything is getting set up. It's all getting set up. You see that? It's all getting set up. In other words, God's plan isn't stalled by anything that goes on earth. It's not stalled. This is so exciting. At least I think so. People say, when is COVID going to end? When are they going to reopen the schools? All right. We're on planet. You know, all I know is that, okay, this is me. I want to be Christ-driven, not COVID-driven. I want us to be Christ-driven, not crisis-driven. I want us to be gospel-shaped and centered people. Jesus says, I'm coming. I'm coming. Now, before his second coming, I mentioned the 70 weeks. After the 69th week, the Messiah would be cut off, crucified. The temple would be destroyed, 70 AD, right? The temple would be destroyed, 70 AD. And then there is a closure to the 69th week. And there is a parenthetical period of time in between the 69th and the 70th week, which is known as the age of the church. Paul was given a revelation by Jesus Christ. He says, we are a part of a mystery body, the church, composed of Jew or Gentile. Why does all of this excite me? Because before this happens, we get called home. You know what that means? It could happen now. That's what you're praying for, huh, Freddie? Lord, come quickly. Pray before Pastor Ray gets done with the service. So he says, you watch. You be ready. And I don't know about you. These are the things that we need to be occupied with. Not hiding our head in the sand. Not being passive with current events. But these are the things that we need to be telling the people. You and I are like Esther. We are on earth for such a time as this to tell the world. You're freaking out over COVID. You're freaking out over who's in the White House. You're freaking out over this. You're freaking out over that. And I'm going to say something that is probably going to upset some people, but it's probably the Lord. I got an email today from a Bible student that I had in India at the college that went and pastors a church in Warangal, as Pastor Ben was saying. These guys are getting hit left and right. They have ration off water, ration off food, ration off gasoline, ration off internet, ration off power. And he's asking me, how are you guys doing? And we're on lockdown and we're reopening this Sunday. We've reopened for a couple of weeks. So, well, what's the big issue? I said, well, one of the big issues is whether we should wear a mask. And the guy says, we could get killed for our faith over here, and you guys are arguing over whether or not to wear a mask? I wish to God that we had that problem. Now, we should do what we should do to be safe, but don't let the enemy deceive you guys. Jesus said, a house divided against itself can't stand. And behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Even Satan knows that when the body of Christ comes together in the things that we are to stand on, that there's a power, there's a presence of God that cannot be matched. So what does he do? He gets us arguing and divided over all these little things. And you know what he does? He weakens us. Jesus is coming, guys. Listen to me. I'm not advocating being careless. I'm not advocating being medically reckless. But know this. The issues that we're dealing with, 2020 elections, Black Lives Matter, masks, COVID, is hitting the body of Christ. And I know this because I'm on Zoom call with pastors at 6 o'clock every Sunday morning. We need to pray. Yes. They're losing their minds. We need to be coming together in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, before I return, you guys love one another fervently. I'm talking about the whole body of Christ, and you preach the gospel. It's not when we get a vaccine. It's not when we get a new president. It's not when we do this or that. The answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. He's coming back, and you can discern the signs of the times. You can discern the weather. You know, guys, I say this to encourage you. I say this to encourage you, and I say this to encourage me, that we need to be about our Father's business. And I read these passages of Scripture because here it is right in front of us. And yet, how much have you heard about this temple being built? Is it covered by Fox News? MSNBC? CNN? ABC? NBC? ABC, DEFG, HIJK, LMNOP? You know why? That doesn't sell. Good news doesn't sell. Never does, never will. Jesus is not for sale, but Jesus is coming back. And you have neighbors, and you have colleagues, and you have family members that in the midst of all of the conversations that you have, we need to bring them right back to this. Do you realize this is going on because Jesus is coming soon? Question, are you ready? Jesus talked about the marriage supper, and a king was going to have a supper for his bride. We're going to that supper. But in Matthew 22, he mentions that someone tried to get into the marriage supper, but they didn't have on the right garment. You know, the garment that you need to have on to get into the supper, you need to be clothed with the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ. And here's the things where at least my unsaved friends and family members, they don't get it. When you talk about sin, you know what they think about? The drug addict, the whore, the drunkard. No doubt, that's sin. And then we say, do you realize that self-righteousness is just as offensive to God as that? Because I think as long as I'm a good person, I'm in. How good? Tell me, where's the scale? Right? You put all of the United States on the East Coast and say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to swim to Europe. Right? You may get closer than me, but you're going to drown. And you may be gooder than me, but you're going to drown. Because the only way we get in is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. That's the only way. And forget about your righteousness, self-righteousness. It's Him. It's all Him. It's all Him. When we get to glory, we're going to be praising Him who shed His blood for us. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission, but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is tomorrow. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.